So Isaiah chapter 8. And hey, also, I wanted to remind you guys, I don't know if you guys know this or not, but did you guys know that we have a digital bulletin that we send out monthly? And if you guys want to be up to date on the things that are happening, you can either scan this QR code when you come into the church, or you can sign up for our newsletter. There's a sign-up sheet in the back over there. You can put your email address there, and we'll let you know of all the things that are happening this next month. And so not sure if you guys do that, but I wanted to encourage you. So Isaiah chapter 8, we're going to read verses 1 through 8 real quick. And so it says this. It says in Isaiah chapter 8, verse 1, "And then the Lord said to me, 'Take a large scroll and write on it with an ordinary pen, Mahar Shalal Hash Baz.' So I called in Uriah the priest and Zechariah, son of Jezebarkiah, as reliable witnesses for me. Then I made love to the prophetess, and she conceived and gave birth to a son. And the Lord said to me, 'Name him Mahar Shalal Hash Baz. For before the boy knows how to say my father or my mother, the wealth of Damascus and the plunder of Samaria will be carried off by the king of Assyria.' The Lord spoke to me again, 'Because this people has rejected the gentle flowing waters of Shiloah and rejoiced over Rezin and the son of Ramallah, therefore the Lord is about to bring against them the mighty floodwaters of the Euphrates, the king of Assyria, with all of his pomp. It will overflow all of its channels, run over all of its banks, and sweep on into Judah, swirling over it, passing through it and reaching up to the neck. Its outspread wings will cover the breadth of the land. Emmanuel." Can you guys say Emmanuel? Say it one more time, Emmanuel. Emmanuel, which means God with us. And so last week we started this new series, and actually I think maybe I should have called it Emmanuel instead of Season of Hope, Seasons of Hope, but we've been starting this new series on Seasons of Hope, and we've been talking about this passage in Isaiah. We started last week, we talked a little bit about Isaiah chapter 6 and Isaiah chapter 7, about kind of the context of kind of what was happening. And so essentially, to kind of get you guys up to date, God had called Isaiah the prophet in chapter 6. And Isaiah had a vision. And in the vision, he saw the Lord seated on his throne. And he saw a kind of a picture of the throne room. And he's like, "Whoa, woe is me. I am a man of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the Lord Almighty." And the Lord speaks, and he's like, "Here I am, God. You can send me." But he kind of warns Isaiah that although the people have ears, they're not going to hear. And although they have eyes, they're not going to see. And so last week we talked about how Isaiah went to Ahaz the king and spoke to him. And just kind of, again, kind of context of this is that this was about 2,700 years ago, and the kingdom was divided. Israel was divided. It was divided into two different kingdoms. The northern kingdom, which was the 10 tribes, and then the southern kingdom, which was Judah and Benjamin. And there was a king who became king when he was 20 years old. His name was Ahaz, and he was doing detestable things. He sacrificed his own son in the fire. He turned every high place into a spot to sacrifice for false gods. In fact, it says under every green tree he made sacrifices. It was a time of it was really a time of spiritual bankruptcy. It was a time of spiritual compromise in Israel's history. And so Israel in the northern kingdom decided to make war with Israel with Syria, became partners, and they decided to make civil war against the southern kingdom. I don't know if that kind of paints a picture for you. And so there were a couple different kings. The king of Syria was Rezin, and the king of Israel was King Pekah in the northern of the northern tribes. And they attacked Israel with King Ahaz. And we talked about last week how it was this immense attack where they attacked the southern kingdom and they they killed 120,000 people in one day. And they killed the king's son, and they killed the second in command, and they killed a great number of people. The cities were plundered, and the inhabitants were brought into captivity. And in 2 Chronicles chapter 28, it actually says that there was a great slaughter. And so Ahaz, there's a civil war that's happening, and Ahaz is freaking out because here are these two kings that are attacking him, and he's not entirely sure what to do, and he's freaking out. He's not sure where to go, what to do. His people had been slaughtered, and he's kind of like in between a rock and a hard place. And so in comes Isaiah the prophet, and Isaiah begins to speak to him. And so then we kind of catch up in Isaiah chapter 8 again, where it says, "And the Lord said to me," and so the Lord is speaking to Isaiah. He says, "Take a large scroll and write on it with an ordinary pen, Mahar Shalal Hashbaz." Can you guys say that with me? Oh my goodness, say it one more time. So the Lord speaks to Isaiah. He says, "I want you to write this down, Mahar Shalal Hashbaz," which means speed to the spoil, quick to the plunder. Speed to the spoil, quick to the plunder. And what the Lord is saying to Isaiah is he's prophetically speaking of what's going to be happening with Israel. He's prophetically speaking of a conquest that's going to be coming, that's going to be quick, and it's going to be fast, and there's going to be spoil, and there's going to be a plunder. And so so the Lord speaks to him, and he's like, "Also, why don't you take these two witnesses?" So he called Uriah the priest and Zechariah as reliable witnesses to witness before him. So these two are going to be your witnesses. And then he made love to the prophetess, his wife, and she conceived and gave birth to a son. And the Lord said to me, "Name him Mahar Shalal Hashbaz, for before the boy knows what to say, my father or my mother, the wealth of Damascus and the plunder of Samaria will be carried off by the king of Assyria." And so what's happening here is God is speaking to the prophet, and he's saying, "Listen, there's a timeline here. There's something that's going to be happening quickly. There's something that's going to be happening soon." And as a witness to what's going to happen, you're going to have a son, and I want you to name your son after like what's going to be happening. So I don't know. It's kind of wild, isn't it? Like you think about the significance of names in the biblical text, and I think about the significance of my kids' names and how those are important. But like, I want you to name your son. Really, his name means speed to the spoil and quick to the plunder. And your son is going to be a prophetic word on how God's going to move and how God is going to speak. I mean, I can imagine maybe the prophetess speaking to the prophet. The husband and wife, they're talking, and maybe she's like, "Hey, I think I've come up with some great baby names. You know, maybe we should name him Benjamin, which means, you know, a son of my right hand, or maybe we should name him Bennett, which means blessed, or maybe we should name him Distad, which means two farms." Amen. Maybe we should name him, I don't know, maybe something good, something meaningful, Isaiah, or maybe we should name him Jacob, which means heel grabber, or, you know, I don't know, maybe we should name him something. And he's like, "No, the Lord has already told me what we're going to name our son, because it's going to be a prophetic witness to the nation. And we're going to name him speed to the spoil and quick to the plunder." It's kind of a crazy prophetic word where God is speaking to the prophet, and he's telling him to name his very own son over what's going to be happening over Israel. And this prophetic word that he's speaking to the prophet is, again, it's something that isn't far off, but he's speaking of something that's coming quickly. The cities were about to experience a military defeat. They were going to fall. There was going to be a plundering of wealth. this message is, again, it's speaking of a time that's coming quickly, and that's going to be a time of darkness and a time of worrisomeness, if that's a word. Assyria was going to be coming down and plundering Israel and Syria, and sure enough, God is being truthful to his word, because we know that shortly after this time, within a year that within a year of this prophetic word that was going to be spoken, indeed the southern tribes, the southern kingdom, Judah and Benjamin, were going to be plundered by the Assyrians. And so it's interesting. It's this prophetic word where God spoke of things that were about to happen, and Isaiah's son was, again, a prophetic word of what was going to be happening. And as I was studying that, and I was reading that passage of Scripture, I was thinking about how it's interesting that God already knew ahead of time what was going to happen. He knew ahead of time the troubles that they were going to go through. He knew ahead of time the trials and the tribulations. He knew ahead of time the plunder that was going to happen. He knew ahead of time the people that were going to be lost. He knew ahead of time. He knew exactly what was going to happen. And as I was studying this passage and I was thinking about this passage, I was thinking about, man, you know, the truth is that some of us in this coming year and in this coming season undoubtedly are going to be going through maybe some difficult times. You know, before some of you, you might be going into times of financial strife, or before some of you, in front of some of you, you might be going through times of medical uncertainty. I remember about a year ago, we got a diagnosis from my mom where we realized that she was going to be going through something difficult, and praise the Lord, she's still fighting. But you know, I think as we look into the new year, into the rest of 2024, we only have a couple weeks left in 2025, I think it's good to remember that God's in control, amen? And that God is faithful to his promises, amen? Like here King Ahaz is he's surrounded by his enemies, and King Pekah and King Rezin and the Assyrians are right around the corner, and God was in charge, and God had everything in control, and God was still on the throne, you know? I don't know about you, but sometimes when I go through, I don't know, some difficult things, I think, man, does God see me? Does God care about me? Does God know what I'm going through? You know, does God know that I just have a couple packs of ramen noodles in the cabinet and that's all I have left? Does God know the difficulties that I'm going through? Does God know that the kids were misbehaving? Does God know that my car broke down? Does God know? My car has been kind of messed up a little bit. It's been dragging for a while. I have my heat shield that's dragging, and it's been dragging for a while, and it's like, oh my goodness. I'm just waiting for it to either fall off, or I need to fix it. I don't know. Does God know what's going to be? You know, I don't know. Sometimes I question when I look at the things that are going around in my life, and I mean, maybe you do too. Like, you turn on the news, and you hear about the things that are happening right now in Syria. You hear about the things that are right now that are happening with Israel and Gaza, the Ukraine, Russia, all these things. You're like, oh my goodness, can I survive? Like, what's going to happen? And you listen to the talking heads, and the talking heads are just telling you more things to be fearful about, and you're nervous that the dollar's going to crash. You see Bitcoin going up to $100,000. It's like, what's going to happen? God is in control. God is in charge. I appreciate that faith. God is in control, and God knows what's going to happen. And here prophetically through the prophet, he said, listen, I want you to have a son, and your son is going to be a testimony to what I'm going to do and how I'm going to be a provision. And so I just want to encourage you this morning that God's in control. And God is the one who determines history. And God is the one who's sitting on the throne. He is the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning, the last, the first, and the end. And then it says this in Isaiah chapter 8, in verse 5, it says, and the Lord spoke to me again. Because his people have rejected the gently flowing waters of Shiloah. And rejoice over Rezin and the son of Remaliah. Therefore, the Lord is about to bring against them the mighty floodwaters of the Euphrates. The king of Assyria with all his pomp. It will overflow all its channels, run over all of its banks, and sweep on into Judah, swirling over it, passing through it, and reaching up to the neck. I don't know if you see this, but what's happening here is God speaking to Isaiah again. And he is drawing the contrast of two different water sources. See that? Two different rivers. There's two different rivers. And listen, when we are going through difficult times in our life, when we're going through just a couple packs of ramen noodles in the cabinet, or when we're going through whatever it might be, fear, might be uncertainty with the future. You might be in a tumultuous role. I don't know, whatever it might be, a health river, whatever it might be. There are two different rivers that you can drink from. Did you know that this morning? There are two different rivers that you can drink from. There's two different rivers. And God is speaking to Isaiah, and he's giving a contrast of these two different rivers. Are you guys with me this morning? Say amen. Amen. Say it one more time like you mean it. Amen. There's two different rivers. The first river is a river named Shiloah. And if we look at the text, it says it's gently flowing waters. There was actually a stream that came down from Mount Zion into Jerusalem. It was the water source of the city. And Shiloah means sent peace, okay? It actually filled the pool of Shalom. Maybe you've read about that in the New Testament where Jesus met the blind man who told him to go wash so that he could see again. It was also the pool where Jesus proclaimed, "If any man is thirsty, let him come and drink of this gently flowing, quiet waters." Right? The water came down from Mount Zion, flowed down, and it was something that sustained the life of the people that were in Jerusalem. It was gentle. It was steady. It was quiet, but it was something that came down and it provided for all of their needs. And man, I was thinking about this, when we go through difficult times, we have the choice to drink from a couple different waters. Like I don't think that stream was necessarily entirely spectacular to look at because it just trickled down from the mountain, but it was a stream that was gentle and flowing, and it brought peace. And it brought health, and it brought sustenance. And this brook was always there for the people. It represented provision, and it was sustaining. It was the first stream that's mentioned. You can drink of a couple different streams. The first stream. I'm reminded of, there is a, back home growing up, we had a stream that went by our home. It was about maybe a half a mile right up the gravel road, the stream that came from a spring further up in the fields. And man, that stream has always been there, and it's always tinkering. It's always tinkling. It was always going by the house. And it's funny because by the stream you can kind of tell where the stream goes, because you know, out in the fields, it's like you have the farmland, but near the stream, you could see the trees and the grass, and if you get close to the water, you can see the fish that are swimming around in it, gentle and flowing. But there's another river that's mentioned. There's two rivers that's mentioned, so the river of Shiloah, but the stream of Shiloah, but then there's another river that's mentioned here as well, down in verse 7, he mentions the mighty floodwaters of the Euphrates. I don't know if you realize this, but the Euphrates is the longest river in Western Asia. It's over 1,700 miles long. Many cities were built on it. Ancient cities were built on it. Still, many cities are on it. Massive river. Lots of power. Lots of force. Lots of excitement. And so here is King Ahaz. And he has a choice to choose one of the two rivers. He can choose the gentle flowing waters of the Shiloah, or he can choose the mighty waters of the Euphrates, right? He looks at the Shiloah and it's gentle and peaceful and mild. But then he looks at the magnificence of the Euphrates River. And really, what they're talking about here, he's not necessarily talking about rivers, but he's talking about what to trust in and what to believe in, right? So here King Ahaz is getting attacked by King Pekah and King Rezin, and he sees the appeal of Assyria. He sees their might. He sees the excitement. He sees that, man, this is a powerful nation that can do lots of things. And so instead of siding with Israel and Syria, he decides that what I'm going to do instead of trusting in the Lord and trusting it, instead of doing this, I'm going to go to the Assyria. In fact, you can read about this in 2 Kings chapter 16. I'm going to read a couple of verses here. It says, "Then King Ahaz went to Damascus to meet Tilgath-Pileser, king of Assyria. He saw an altar in Damascus and sent Uriah the priest a sketch of the altar, which detained plans for its construction. So Uriah the priest built an altar in accordance with all the plans that King Ahaz had sent from Damascus and finished it before King Ahaz had returned." So he's trying to appease the Assyrians. So he sees an altar there, which he likes. So he's like, you know what, I'm gonna go to this strong flowing river, this mighty river, and I'm going to try to get them to be on my side. And when the king came back from Damascus and saw the altar, he approached it and presented offerings on it. He also offered up his burnt offerings and grain offerings and poured out his drink offering and splashed the blood of his fellowship offering against the altar. As for the bronze altar that stood before the Lord, he brought it from the temple, from between the new altar and the temple of the Lord, and put it on the north side of the new altar. So essentially what he's doing is he's taking all these, he's trying to appease this Assyrian king. In fact, you can read further on in the text that he even took down drapings of the temple. He did all sorts of things to appease the king. And so I can just imagine him thinking, oh, you know, this king of Assyria is with me. And now that Assyria is with me, I can take on the Syrians, and I can also take on the other portion of Israel, and this civil war is going to be over with, and this is going to be great, and we're going to give them gold and silver, and we're going to celebrate, and this is going to be great. This is going to be amazing. It's going to, and so he makes this deal with Assyria. He chose the Euphrates. But God is prophetically speaking to him and saying, listen, you've chosen them for right now, but the waters that you've chosen to drink from, are you guys with me this morning? The waters that you guys have chosen to drink from, these waters are going to overflow all of your channels. Like these waters that you've chosen to drink from, they're going to run over all of your banks. These waters that you've chosen to drink from, it's going to sweep down into Judah. It's going to swirl over your head. It's going to bring destruction and chaos. Like, it's going to bring happiness, but it's only going to bring happiness for a short time, because before this child can say, mommy and daddy, it's all going to be destroyed. It's going to bring you happiness, but it's going to be temporary happiness. It might bring you peace, but guess what? It's going to bring you temporary peace. It might bring you joy for a little while, but it's only going to bring you joy for a little while. Man, did you know that these two rivers, the river of Shiloah and the river of the Euphrates, are still flowing today? Literally, figuratively, spiritually, they're still flowing today. You know? Isn't it interesting that God still brings peace? He still sustains life. It's steady. It purifies. It brings security. It brings comfort. And Jesus said this in John chapter 4. He said, anyone who drinks this water will never thirst again. And in Revelation chapter 22, the revelator he sees a new heaven and a new earth. He sees something that's not yet here, but that's far off. And he speaks of these waters again, this river again. It says, then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb, down the middle of the great street of the city. On each side of the river stood the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. I think sometimes we look for the Euphrates, right? We look for the powerful, gushing water of the Euphrates, you know? I remember when, many years ago, I worked at Circuit City. And praise the Lord, I think they're bankrupt now. Hopefully it wasn't because of what I did, but Circuit City is no longer around. And I worked there on Black Friday. And I remember I worked in the warehouse. And they had this thing called a picker, and it was like a forklift that was like magnetized. And so they had their aisles were really narrow, and so you'd take this little forklift thing, and you'd turn it, and you press a button, and it would align with the aisle, so that you could zip up and down the aisle really fast and get TV. This was back when TVs were really big. Remember that? And so they had some Black Friday deal where they were selling TVs and. Man, I remember it was crazy. And every time an order went through, there was a beep, beep. And so I'm working Black Friday. We got there at like 5 o'clock in the morning. I think they opened at 6. And oh my goodness, people were like running over each other. Whatever happened to Black Friday? I kind of missed that when people were being crazy and they were running over each other. And we're waiting in the back room, me and the other stock guys. And suddenly we start hearing the orders. Beep. All these people buying TVs, man. It was crazy. Just running around in the chaos. You know, it says, we also lived in Missouri for a while, and I can remember. We lived in Granite, actually technically it was Illinois. We lived in Granite City, Illinois, and they had built the city on a flood basin. And so any time that it rained significant, the Missouri River would overflow into the city. And oh my goodness. It's crazy. I was reading about the flooding in North Carolina, and they said that they estimated that 40 trillion gallons of water were dumped from St. Helen, on the state. And man, life can be chaotic. Life can be insane, man. But God has given us the choice to drink of a couple different rivers, you know? He's given us the choice. What's crazy, you'd think that when God would send his son, that he would send his son Jesus. I mean, we're here in the season of Christmas, but you'd think that God would send his son maybe to a thriving, massive city to be born of someone who already had a bunch of kids and maybe someone who was incredibly powerful and fantastic. Maybe you think Christ would be born into some type of Euphrates situation where there's much power and force, strength. But you know what's weird? When Jesus came, he came in Bethlehem, in Judea, during the time of King Herod, in a manger, to a girl who was probably in her teens. I guess I want to remind you guys this morning of the gentle, quiet waters of the Shiloah. In the chaos of the Christmas season, as you're running around, buying presents for your kids, trying to attend all the Christmas parties, trying to do all the things, remember the gentle, flowing, quiet, peaceful waters of the Shiloah. Remember that God is with you, Emmanuel. Remember that in times of chaos, you have the choice to pick which river to drink in, to abide in. And God promises peace through his Son. This morning, Father, we just come before you. We give you, man, all of our baggage, all of our just fears, all of our doubts, all of our, and maybe we're feeling like we're being attacked like King Ahaz. And God, we just give it all to you. And today, Father, we pray that you will minister to us and that you'll bring your peace, which surpasses all understanding, to just flow over us, Father. We pray for your river to flow over us, Father. We pray for your peace to flow over us, Father. We just pray against the attacks of the enemy and the attacks of this world and the uncertainties of this world today, Father. And we just pray for your river to flow over us this morning, Father. And as we sing this song, Father, may you minister to us in your holy name.